Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back. Hunting down Vinny Iyer from Sporting News. Talk a little NFL football here on a Wednesday Sports Daily. Shane and Bruce. Who's the first Cowboy to get paid? Dak, Zeke, or Amari Cooper? Who would you pay? I mean, Ezekiel Elliott, didn't he lead the NFL in touches last year or something like that?
No.
Ridiculous amount of touches. But you got Dak Prescott, who's running out of his rookie contract. That's kind of the
I think you got to take care of the quarterback, don't you?
Well, I mean, you try to strike while the iron's hot, while they're still in their rookie deals. But when it comes up, then you're
yeah.
All right, you gonna pay him, or I think Golic and Wingo was talking about, or are you gonna just take a chance on drafting a new one, you know, and hope that they kind of pick up where your quarterback that you refused to pay left off?
I don't know. How much do you believe in Dak Prescott?
Well, I believe that he is a upper half quarterback. Like, he's
right.
Top 12, top 14, I think. I mean, he's not elite. Mm-hmm. He's not at the tippy top.
Is he a playmaker or a manager?
See, I think he's got a little of both.
I do, too.
You know,
he's capable.
If not for that miraculous throw by Aaron Rodgers a couple of years ago, maybe it was last year, I forget. 2 years ago? I mean,
they're
going deep into the playoffs, if not for Aaron Rodgers.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
Packers were bad last year.
Yeah, that's right.
No, you're right.
So, you know.
I mean, Dak Prescott is far above the value that they placed upon him drafting him, what, in the third round or whatever round it was, third round. So I think you got to take care of him. Ezekiel Elliott continues to be one of those guys that's talented, but, and I mean, I guess being in Dallas and with Jerry Jones, they'll continue to get it figured out. But my God, they deal with him more off the field than they need to, which is a pain. And Amari Cooper, yeah. I mean, he paid good dividends for him a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, what did he get him? I mean, where did the Cowboys end up? So, I don't know. Dak Prescott's your difference maker in those three, even though Zeke is fantastic at what he does. So if you're asking me who do you pay, you got to pay the quarterback.
Yeah.
So.
And I guess the good part when it comes to the Cowboys is I think they're young enough and good enough on defense that you can probably get away with paying your quarterback. It seems like the blueprint was, well, it's either or, you know.
You right.
Pay your linemen and defense first while you're this was the Russell Wilson theory, right? You know, you got the Legion of Boom, and then Russell Wilson's still on a rookie contract. So that's how you go to Super Bowls.
Sure.
Well, Leighton Vander Esch is pretty young. Jalen, what's his name's pretty young on the defensive side. Sean Lee's banged up, but he's pretty good. You know, so I don't mind Dallas's defense. And
yeah, that's a really good defense. And Vander Esch is a really nice player, right?
He's an animal. He's all over the place.
He just was fantastic last year. Young guy out of Boise State that I think is you had Bradley Chubb with double-digit sacks. But I thought that Vander Esch was the most impactful defensive rookie of the year last year in the NFL, just from a standpoint of flow of the game, what he provided in the game, how much he improved that Dallas defense. I mean, their ability to cover their inside backers and their ability to cover sideline to sideline and then down the middle of the field is fantastic. I really like the Cowboys defensively. I'm not a Cowboys fan, but it's hard not to like that group.
They got multiple really, really potential stars. I mean, 25 and and below, including those three that we talked about on offense. Dak Prescott's base salary is $2.02 million. That's 28.
So, what was the term that was used yesterday? Tip money? Jeffrey Flanagan used that term, tip money. I got a chuckle out of that. I'm going to remember it.
That was good.
May not give him credit when I use it again, but I like the term.
What was he talking about? The A's picking up the rest of Homer Bailey's contract in L.A.? That's tip money? It's like $200,000. Yeah. I think that's what he was talking about.
Yeah. The Dodgers. He was talking about the Dodgers and it being tip money for the Dodgers or something like that. I can't remember. But be that as it may, I loved the term. And that's chump change for a quarterback in this league, especially a quarterback that's better than average.
Well, and his base salary is lower than Chase Daniel, Nate Sudfeld, Colt McCoy, Brian Hoyer, and Drew Stanton.
We got
Vinny now. Vinny's joining us on the Twin Peaks Scenic Views Hotline. Welcome back to the show, Vinny, from Sporting News, a little NFL talk. How's your summer going, Vin?
Great. Good. Maybe too relaxing here. I had a little good break here, but ready for it. The training camp's already opening. Let's get to it.
Well, Bruce and I were just talking before you came on about the Cowboys and what they do with, their big three on offense. All of them young, all of them kind of do some money, and now Ezekiel Elliott's talking about holding out. Do you believe him?
Well, there definitely has been a floodgate opened by Le'Veon Bell to make running backs think twice about their status and how much they should get paid. And this is the problem in general with this position, that it's a position that the NFL has great turnover at. They're going to find different guys, plug them in. But now you're seeing a wave of elite backs. I mean, you have Saquon Barkley also coming around the corner here. What is Christian McCaffrey going to ask for? What is Alvin Kamara going to ask for? So you've got these special backs that definitely change the face of these teams' offenses. And I think maybe Le'Veon Bell got them thinking, I got to cash in as much as I can. They see Todd Gurley and his big deal. And then what happens to Todd Gurley? He starts having an arthritic knee, some issues here that pop up that maybe now, if you look at it, he's probably not getting that contract from the Rams. So I think maybe there's a bit of groupthink going on at this position, Melvin Gordon, Ezekiel Elliott. But running back, again, it's not the demand position that quarterback is or wide receiver is at this point. And if you're a special player there, I think it's just the nature of the way the NFL is right now. You're not going to get paid the way you want on the timeline you want.
You bring up Melvin Gordon, and we talked about that earlier this week. I'm intrigued because the Chargers are one of the teams to beat in the AFC, in the NFL. There's an interesting dynamic there in that they were 4-0 in games that Melvin Gordon did not play in last year. They can go running back by committee, but how big of an issue is the Melvin Gordon issue now playing out in San Diego, not only with the Chargers, but as it relates to other players around the league who might be thinking about following the same path as, say, Le'Veon Bell did a year ago?
Well, we'll see. With Melvin Gordon, to me, I think the worst thing he could have said was, look how valuable I am to this team. Because you look at the production with Justin Jackson and Austin Eckler, some of the games they were able to win, I think they won at Pittsburgh and at Kansas City there without Melvin Gordon. So you have to be careful what you say your value is. And running back, we know that. There are situations where you can place one guy with a committee. It's not ideal because you kind of telegraph your plays on early downs and receiving situations, but overall teams can get by and be victorious there. I mean, if Phillip Rivers goes down, you think the Chargers are going to struggle a lot more than if Melvin Gordon's out of lineup. So you have to consider all that, and I think it's just a young player. I think the Gurley situation early, the Bell situation that happened a little later in her career, they're kind of a mashing up for these guys in the middle that want to get paid in their wheelhouse while they're producing. So It's going to be interesting to see. I think the Chargers haven't really shown much resistance to paying Melvin Gordon. I think they just wanted to do it on their own terms and on their own time. And I think that's going to be the issue here. Is he going to be patient with that, or is he going to say, no, I don't want to risk anything injury-wise and not get paid? And I think part of it is the fact that he has been banged up early in his career, and he wants to protect himself and make the money he can while he can. So it's interesting. It's definitely got to be in the minds of the Players Association when they go in the CBA and how to deal with a position like running back that's so marquee but also so interchangeable in this league.
Our football insider and NFL fantasy football writer from Sporting News, Vinny Iyer, joining us here on the Twin Peaks Scenic Views Hotline here on Sports Daily. Vinny, at least one rookie quarterback has started week one in each of the last 11 seasons. Will there be multiple rookie quarterbacks starting week one? Because besides Kyler Murray, who we all assume will start, there's Daniel Jones and Dwayne Haskins too.
Well, it looks like Eli Manning is going to hold that job to begin with. I think it's a little cloudier in the Redskins situation, where I think that competition is going to be open. I think it's a slight lean towards Case Keenum, but nothing really locked up there. And that right now Drew Lock's not even under contract with the Broncos. It's hard to imagine that they're going to give him the first team reps. They've already kind of locked into Joe Flacco there. So I think Case Keenum is on the shakiest ground. I think Eli is going to have to really struggle, and the Giants are going to have to be bad where you want to really turn the page to your future with Daniel Jones. So I'd say right now Kyler Murray is your 100% out there in week one. I think Dwayne Haskins, I'll put him at 60%. I think if there's a tie there between him and Case Keenum and he can play well enough to show what he has, I think they're going to put him out there because the clock is ticking on Jay Gruden and their offensive potential there. And Haskins is where they really need to go and see what he can do.
You mentioned Drew Lock. It's interesting to me that he hasn't even signed his rookie deal yet. One spot taken behind Dalton Reisner, the offensive lineman out of Kansas State, who signed yesterday amongst promises that they weren't going to pay Drew Lock more money than they paid Dalton Reisner, who they took a pick in front of him. All sorts of interesting intrigue with second-round players. It seems odd to me that we're even having this discussion, but right now he's not even under contract and practice starts tomorrow morning. So that will be an interesting fallout in Denver. You talked about the CBA just a second ago, the approaching CBA. Already the trial balloon of an 18-game season has been out there. Players Union has said that it's not in the rank and file's best interest. I even saw some kind of nutty thought of players would only be eligible for 16 games. Where are we going on this, Vinny? I mean, I realize that, you know, everyone's looking for increased revenue streams, but my goodness, isn't enough enough?
Yeah, I mean, I think the NFL does need to worry about the saturation point because it is a great product right now, but there are little cracks in it. We know that. With the way players are getting paid, the grumbling of that already, the concussion issue, player safety is always lingering here. So why do you want to push this more? I think you have to fix your commodity compensation here first, because I get it, the economics of the NFL, when you have that many players on that many teams, the money is not going to be spread around the way you'll see in NBA or baseball. It's just not going to happen. So there's that built into it. But I think the NFL is trying to get away with the most push for games and revenues without alienating the players. But I think you go keep pushing the buttons a little bit more, you're going to get to that point. And you have to be smart about it right now. I think the NFL, just like any other business, wants to keep growing, wants to keep building, wants to keep making more money. But you also want to keep your product intact at the same time, not see deterioration. I think if you go over 18 games, it's in this play in 16 strategy, you're going to have a lot of games that don't mean as much and a lot of upset fans because, you know, in two games, you're not going to see your star players out there.
Talking football with Vinny Iyer from Sporting News, fantasy football writer for them. Bruce and I talked yesterday, Vinny, about Madden's player ratings and how mad some of the real life players actually get. Is that a thing as far as you know? I mean, we saw virally Keenan Allen wasn't happy. I think DeMarcus Lawrence maybe was chapped and was talking about boycotting. I mean, this is a thing, right? People getting mad over their Madden ratings?
Yeah, it's kind of silly to me, but I kind of feel like the Madden ratings are done in a calculated way, so there is buzz created about players because what you got when you have – ratings that are all over the board, people talking about ratings and people talking about Madden. Every NFL player either happy about their rating or disappointed about their rating or mad about somebody else's rating. Mm-hmm. There's all that. But in the end, we're all talking about the Madden ratings. So I think maybe there's a little bit of tweaking done there in the course of the game. I mean, in the end, real life is – and what they do on the field, winning championships, playing at a high level, that's what we're going to measure most of these players by anyway. So it's just funny, their virtual selves, they want to be as impressive as their real selves.
Well, it's you can't wait to get at it. Although, Vinny, is it just me or does it seem to be upon us even faster this year? Am I just getting older and a little slower because – my goodness, here we are. We've got camps opening tomorrow, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, it's gotten crazy. I mean, you build in these things like franchise tag deadline that are right. Artificial things on the calendar that, okay, so we see a void in this part of the calendar. Let's call this the franchise tag deadline day, and okay, then boom, training camps are open. So the NFL wants that. I mean, look at the NFL calendar. It's like a year-round color coded thing where it says we're never going to stop talking about the NFL. So mm-hmm. It's tough for people who cover the game and are out there that you have pretty much a 1 month window at most where you're not totally immersed in the game. But again, that's why I think you're at the saturation point. You really can't dominate much more if you're in the NFL and expect to have some recession in that.
Vinny Iyer from Sporting News, NFL Talk. Great stuff as always. Good to run you down, Vinny.
Thanks, Vinny.
Right, thank you.
You bet. All right, there he goes. There are four guys on Madden NFL 20 that are 99s. Aaron Donald, DeAndre Hopkins, Khalil Mack, and Bobby Wagner. They're your 99s. Huh. Yep.
Hmm.
Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback, not surprisingly. He's a 97. Tom Brady's a 96.
Wow.
Yeah, so...
Well,
there you
okay.
go. There's your Madden update.
Do you play Madden?
I don't.
No,
I don't either. Back in the day, I did. I'm talking about 20 whatever years ago when I was in college. And now it's just ridiculous how real it looks and plays and all that stuff. You can tell by the graphics. I mean, the players look exactly like they do in real life. So
it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It's cool. God. I mean, it's basically going to be interactive at some point. I mean, you know, you're going to be one of the players or something mm-hmm. or other. I don't know how they do it. It's pretty amazing stuff. Let's get to the Syndio Twitter question. It's coming up next, and it's courtesy of our friends from Syndio HRO, your HR experts in Wichita. Shannon, Bruce, Roland, Chad Chambers takes us to break. Sports Daily on a Wednesday edition.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.